Before John Coltrane joined Miles Davis in 1955, he hadn't recorded much, a few numbers with Earl Bostick, Dizzy Gillespie, and Johnny Hodges, and a few informal tapes. Today, jazz critic Kevin Whitehead will play some Coltrane solos you probably haven't heard before, which have been released in a new box set. But first, let's hear some mature Coltrane, also from the box set. This is Cousin Mary, recorded in 1959.
That's John Coltrane in 1959, during the 2 years or so when he recorded for Atlantic Records. For a major label, Atlantic has been oddly indifferent to the classic jazz in its vaults. The reissue specialists at Rhino Records have done a good job handling Atlantic's R&B catalog. Now they've taken control of Atlantic's jazz backlist, too. Rhino's first major release is a 2-CD Coltrane anthology called The Last Giant. It's a nice surprise, for one thing because Atlantic stuff makes up less than half the set. The real meat is 5 rare items by the young Coltrane. Here he is at age 24. John Coltrane with Dizzy Gillespie in 1951. Because Coltrane hardly recorded before he turned 29, musicians and critics have been free to say whatever they like about his early development without fear of contradiction. One thing you hear about Coltrane is that he was a late bloomer, that he didn't conceive a distinctive style until he was about 30. He had his formative influences like everyone else, notably Charlie Parker and Dexter Gordon, but these early recordings show how much Coltrane always sounded like Coltrane. As saxophonist Steve Lacy says, your style's either there from the beginning or it's not there. Here's Coltrane in 1946 playing alto sax with his Navy band on Hot House. He sounds green, but even at 19, he's balancing double-time phrases against pregnant silences, something he'd do ever after. By the time Coltrane was 24 and had switched to tenor sax, he developed another key part of his style, the heraldic sound, the voice that gave his playing such presence. This is with Dizzy Gillespie's sextet and singer Fred Strong.
Well, boogie, woogie, re-bop it, be-bop it, too.
Coltrane's last major stop before joining Miles Davis was the band of saxophonist Johnny Hodges, a master of the striking entrance. Hodges always sounded suave and slinky, whereas tenor player was excitable. But Coltrane picked up on Hodges' knack for grabbing your ear with the opening notes of a solo. Now he really sounds like John Coltrane. He was 27. Thank you. Last Giant isn't a perfect Coltrane crash course. The title's inaccurate. The tracks from his Atlantic years mostly come from just two LPs, and the box skimps on the last and wildest part of his career. It's not the comprehensive early Coltrane CD we should have, but for documenting his emergence, it's the best thing out there. He blooms before your ears.
Kevin Whitehead is a jazz critic living in Brooklyn. He reviewed The Last Giant, the John Coltrane anthology, on Rhino Records.